be seated. Well, good morning. It's a beautiful day, isn't it? Nice, cool morning. No place better to be than right here in the presence of the Lord with our brothers and sisters in Christ. So welcome. A few announcements, of course, before we go on with the service. Those that all either helped at the banquet on Thursday evening, and there was many more that were here Wednesday, cooking the lasagna, and many that brought Rice Krispie bars. We had a wonderful supper, and if you looked at the bulletin yet, we were able to bless 223 people with supper that evening. So it was fun to be able to be there in person once again. Also, just note, coffee hour is next Sunday. There were about four spots still to be filled in for that with goodies. Otherwise, the only other thing I'm going to mention now is the women's Bible study. That's on the insert. It talks about that. I want to mention it because if you want to order your workbook, you have to do that by August 24th. And it will be a study on Amos, the prophet Amos. So that's either Sunday morning during Sunday school. There's also a Wednesday morning option if you'd like to come to that. If there would be enough that would want Wednesday evenings, that could be an option as well. Okay? A lot of other announcements. Please read them as you have time. Let's bow our heads in prayer, please. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne. We come. And we come only through the blood of Jesus Christ. We know that in and of ourselves, our own righteousness, as your word says, is as filthy rags. But we thank you, Father, for Jesus, our Savior and Lord, that you have clothed us with a robe of righteousness. You have clothed us in your righteousness because of the blood that you shed upon that cross. And so we come with confidence before your throne this day to worship you in spirit and in truth. We come to obtain mercy and to find grace to help in times of need. We come, Father, because we love you, we praise you with all of our hearts, spirit, soul, and body. You are God Most High. We ask you to fill this sanctuary with your glory and your wonder and your presence today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, I don't know if I said this last Sunday, but I'll say it again if you weren't here. As far as our screen and that, there are some of the components that have arrived in Sioux Falls, the more smaller components to make everything work. There's about half of those that have not arrived, so could be a couple months yet. It's with all the electronics, that's how it is. So we'll stand, we'll use our hymnal. The hymn is 128, if you want to turn to that. Actually, and when you get there, if you look on number 127, there is a responsive reading that says, "The Lord on high is mighty." And I want us to read that together before we sing the hymn. It's based on Psalm 93. So as you see, I'll read the worship leader part. There are a couple places where it says men. There's a couple spots where it says women. So as it applies, you join in there. This is number 127 in your hymnal. Okay, here we go. The Lord reigns. He is robed in majesty.
The Lord is robed in majesty and is armed with strength.
The world is firmly established. It cannot be moved. Your throne was established long ago. You are from all eternity. The seas have lifted up, O Lord.
The seas have lifted up
their pounding waves, mightier than the thunder of the great waters, mightier. The Lord on high is mighty. Your statutes stand firm. The Lord on high is mighty. Amen. Let's sing 128. So he is. Such beautiful words to that hymn right there. Take a moment, greet those around you, please, before you're seated. Morning, morning. All right, well, it's good to see everybody, and one thing I maybe should have announced, just so we're all clear, we don't switch back to our 10:30 worship time until that first Sunday after Labor Day, which is the 11th of September this year. Otherwise, we're at 9:30 church until then, okay? So, joys and concerns, several things I have written down. One is a prayer for Pastor Andy Bieber. He's the pastor over at the Scotland Community Church there, our sister church, and he is having open heart surgery this Friday. They're going up to Eau Claire, Wisconsin. It involves aortic aneurysm and a valve, so it's a pretty major deal. So be praying for Pastor Andy and his wife, and they have three young children. Through this week, be praying for them. Todd Jones, a lot of you know Pastor Todd. He served here from 1998 to 2002. His father, Delmore Jones, went home to heaven this last week. And are they in Illinois? Is that where his parents? Indiana. Oh, thank you. Okay, so prayers for them. Steve Pressler came through a shoulder surgery pretty good. Yeah, praise the Lord for that. Bill Headley was able to come back to the Menno Care Center this last Friday, which was an answer to prayer, and continued healing and rehab. And okay, I saw him Friday. I thought he looked pretty good. So continued prayers. Kaylin Salas, the 14-year-old girl from Freeman that's down in St. Louis. Any update there? Did they do, or do you want me to say anything on that? Maybe not. Okay, just continued prayers for this teenage girl, liver transplant. Things, it's a serious situation going on. Also for the little baby, Evelyn Johnson, as well. Continued prayers for her. She's at Sanford Hospital. Back to school is this Wednesday for Menno, and Freeman is Thursday. And, oh, it's Wednesday? Okay. All right, at least Mom knows, right? College students going back as well, so prayers for them. Anything else over on this side here? Steve? Yes, prayers for rain. Absolutely. Sounds like some chances tomorrow, I think. So, yeah. Okay. Over here. Okay. Well, let's pray then. Heavenly Father, we come to you. Yes, thanking you for your power that is mightily at work. As we just sang, the words were the world was formed at your command, and we know that your word tells us that. And this is your world, Lord. And you know our desperate need for moisture here through our area especially, and all down, all the way down into Texas and other places. And Father, you are the one that creates the clouds and brings the rain, and we trust you. In the midst of this drought, we trust you. We pray for wisdom to those that are the farmers who are working out in it each and every day, and decisions that have to be made of what to do when, Lord. Guide, please, by your Spirit. And all of us in this region, whatever our jobs are, manufacturing or teaching, and this is a big part of our livelihood. Lord, so we trust that as the forecast is for tomorrow, that you would give us a nice amount of rain. All of your creation is crying out for it, and we cry out with them and thank you by faith for it. In your time and in the midst of the drought, Lord, help us to say, it is well with our soul, because we know you are our source and our provider. We pray for these, Lord, that have had surgeries. Steve, we thank you for a good surgery and recovery for him, for Bill Headley, coming back to our care center here at Menno, and continued strength. We pray for him, for Katie Huber's mother, Jan Nebelsek. I lift her up as she awaits some tests regarding decisions on the treatment of the cancer that she's struggling against. We pray for Kaylin Salas and her family down there in St. Louis, and this little baby, Evelyn Johnson. We pray for healing to their bodies. We lift up Pastor Andy Bieber here next door over at Scotland with a pretty major open heart surgery scheduled for this coming Friday. Be with him and his wife Sally and their kids. Be with the congregation over at the Scotland Community Church as they have various supply pastors coming in. Just watch over them all. We pray for a good surgery for Pastor Andy. Thank you for being with Todd and Kim Jones and their family at the homegoing of Todd's father. Just minister your comfort to them, we ask. Lord, as we pray for rain for our nation, for here locally, we pray for your spiritual rain upon this nation that we desperately need as well, as we have been really in a drought spiritually across this land. And we pray daily. We ask you for it, the outpouring of your Spirit. We thank you for what you're doing behind the scenes that we're not even aware of much of the time. Guard our troops as they serve so faithfully around the world and here at home. Be with their families as husbands and wives are separated and children from one of the parents. Just let your grace be upon them, Father, during the time of separation. We thank you for guiding and leading by your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I want to read from Proverbs chapter 11, verses 24 and 25. Oh, before I read that, one thing I forgot to mention. It's a blessing to have Greg and Nancy Hoffman here. They're from Rhode Island. Nancy is Idella Herbolt's daughter. And we got to have lunch with them out there one day after our conference meetings were all finished. So good to have you guys. Now I'll read Proverbs 11, 24 and 25. One man gives freely, yet gains even more. Another withholds unduly, but comes to poverty. A generous man will prosper, and he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. Let's stand as we sing the doxology, please. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him, above the heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Father, we do praise You for Your goodness, for Your faithfulness. Lord, even when we at times might seem to be faithless, Your word says You are always faithful. For You cannot deny Yourself. That's who You are, the faithful One. And so we thank You for that. The promises of Your word, as we bring our offerings, our tithes, place them in that box at the back of the sanctuary as we are sowing seed into Your kingdom. We thank You, Lord, for Your goodness in each of our lives every day as we continue to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ throughout our region and beyond. For You are Lord of all, Jesus. And as You said, there is no other name under heaven given to men whereby we must be saved that is other than the name of Jesus Christ. We preach it, we proclaim it, we declare it. We thank You for Your blessings. In Jesus' name we pray. And Father, we confess our faith together before You through the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the one holy Christian church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. If the children would come, please, for the Kingdom Kids time.
Oops. Thank you. Thank you. Good morning, boys and girls. It's good to see you all here. Bunch of you today. That's awesome. Well, oops, all my papers fell. What starts on Wednesday? School. How do you feel about that? Are you excited? Who's excited? Yes, we're going to go to school. New classroom, new teachers. Are you... Well, the other half, oh, you know, they're just shy. So, do you ever feel a little nervous maybe when you're going to go to the first day of school because it's new teachers?
No.
Minnow is a little bit easier because you know everybody. But sometimes we might feel that. We might feel a little bit nervous. And so, what have we been talking about in church, do you know? The Holy Spirit, right? We've been talking all about that, all about Him. Where does He live? He lives inside of us. Say that with me. The Holy Spirit lives in me. The Holy Spirit lives in me. Let's say it again. The Holy Spirit, He lives in me. So when you go to school 3 days from now, on the first day of school, you will not be alone. Because who's with you? What did we just say? Who's with you? The Holy Spirit. Okay, who's with us every day? Holy Spirit. Okay, listen to what Jesus told the followers and disciples in John chapter 14, verse 16. And I will ask the Father, Jesus is talking and saying, I will ask God, my Father, and God will send you another counselor, another helper, strengthener, all these things. And he's going to be with you until the very end. Okay, so who's going to be with you? Come on, you guys. You got to wake up here. Who's going to be with you? The Holy Spirit, right. Okay, so I brought some my backpack today, and I brought a few items that will remind us, maybe when we're in school, about the Holy Spirit being with us, okay? So what is this? A pencil. We write things in school. We use our pencil every single day doing our work and at our homework. You know what that reminds me of? That reminds me that the Holy Spirit is our helper, because he will help you do your homework if you ask him. He will help you with your schoolwork. But you have to ask him, okay? He lives in you. Holy Spirit, help me. That's what we say. And what's this part of the pencil? The eraser. Do you ever make mistakes? Yeah, we do. And so when we do in school and paper, we erase, right? Well, the eraser reminds me of the Holy Spirit as our counselor. He will help us. When we make mistakes, he will guide us to do the right thing. He'll lead us. He'll counsel you. He's our counselor, okay, the Holy Spirit. Now, let me get another thing. So this is, what, tennis shoe. Do you change these during the day at any time into other shoes that you have at school? PE, right? You do that. So these remind me that the Holy Spirit is my standby. He's going to stand by me wherever I go, he goes. And if I have trouble, he's with me. If I'm sad, he's with me. If I'm glad and happy, he's with me. He's standing by me. And when I share Jesus with other boys and girls, he's with me. We just have to ask him. Okay, just a few more things. Okay, let me see my... And there's sports, right? What's this? Football, volleyball, sports happening. The Holy Spirit also is our strengthener. So when you're playing these games and doing these sports, ask him to help you. He can strengthen you and help you to play well. And if you're a preschooler, who's preschooler in here? Preschooler. Okay. You're gonna probably take one of these to school. What is it? A blanket. You know, because you have to take a little rest time, and we need our blankets, right? We do. The Holy Spirit is our comforter. He comforts us. He's with us when we're sad, when we're happy, when things aren't going well, he's our comforter. And when you just want to snuggle up with him, he's with us, okay? Last thing. Not the last thing you guys probably take, but last thing I'm taking. These are, what are these? Crayons, and they're all different colors, right? They're crayons. This reminds us that God made each one of you, and he made each one of you different. You are all different. When I look at you, different eye color, different hair color, tall, short. And this reminds me that the Holy Spirit wants us to love others. Love God and love others. And he is our helper. He'll help you do all these things that we need, okay? But we have to ask him. So who's our helper? The Holy Spirit. Everybody answer. Who's the helper? The Holy Spirit. Where does he live? Inside of us. Okay, call on him and he'll help you this week. All right, let's pray. Ready? We're going to pray. Fold your hands. Father, we love you so much, and we're so grateful that you gave us the Holy Spirit to live inside of us. I know it's a hard thing sometimes to understand, but help these boys and girls know that when they go to school on the first day, you're going with them by the Holy Spirit. And if they need help, comfort, someone to stand with them, someone to strengthen them, someone to help them, they will remember you're with them. And they will remember to ask you. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Okay, you can get your papers.
Amen. Thank you, Anne. Those little ones, that's sort of a new concept. They're used to saying, Jesus! All right, well, Caden Fisher is going to have the special music this morning before he heads off to his sophomore year at college at SDSU. So thanks for being here, Caden. Be thou my vision. Thank you, Caden. Beautiful, very beautiful. Praise the Lord. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, you, Jesus, are our vision. You are the living Word, the living bread, as you declared, sent down from heaven. Born in the town of Bethlehem, the house of bread, laid in a manger, the feeding trough, and you have given us your living word that we can look upon and read and study and meditate upon it. For your word is our very life, and we are so grateful for it. And so, Father, as we look into your word again this morning together, we pray that you would continue to open the eyes of our understanding regarding the work of your Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God, who lives within. And I pray that you'd speak through me by your Spirit to those gathered here today, and I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We're going to be in Acts chapter 16, reading verses 6 through 10. This is as Paul and Silas are starting out their second missionary journey. You have a map on the insert of your bulletin that I'm going to refer to in a little bit as we get on with the sermon. So let me start reading. Acts chapter 16, verse 6. Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. When they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. So they passed by Mysia and went down to Troas. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. Amen. And the rest of it, of course, goes on, but we're going to focus on that part here this morning. But a little review. Last Sunday we focused on the Lord's Supper, but we're doing a series here this summer on the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives as believers. So important. That's the theme, the work of the Holy Spirit. As Anne was bringing that out to the children, there. And a lot of times at that age, we with them, we do say, where's Jesus? He's in my heart. Instead of trying to explain the whole thing, well, he's actually seated at the right hand of the Father, but it really is the Holy Spirit who lives in our heart as we know Jesus. He does. So we've looked at John 14, we've looked at John 16, where Jesus said, I'm going to give you another counselor. Another counselor. In other words, one just like myself, that he is going to do for you in my absence what I would do if I was still here physically with you in flesh and blood. But we know that was not the case. So in chapter 14 of John and 16, I've told you this many times, from John 13 through John 17 is all up in the upper room there the night before the cross. All of those chapters flow together. And he's telling them about the Holy Spirit who's going to come and not just be with them, but he's going to be in you. And we are blessed to live after the cross, to have God himself living within our spirit. Okay? He said in John 16, it's for your good that I'm going away. It's for your good, because if I don't go away, the counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I'll send him. So what we're working on now, as Ann read out of the Amplified Bible there, that word counselor in the Greek, there is a sevenfold meaning to that one word used, parakletos, for the Holy Spirit. And that's in your outline too. He is your helper, your comforter, your advocate, your intercessor, your counselor, your strengthener, your standby. All of those things is what the Holy Spirit wants to do and does do in our lives if we let him and we ask him to do. Counselor, 2 weeks ago we started on that, and we'll finish that part up today. But in the natural, what does a counselor do? He leads. He or she leads, guides, directs. And as I said, we had all kinds of counselors, guidance counselors in our schools, marriage counselors, addiction counselors, food and diet counselors, fitness counselors, religious counselors. But the best counselor is the Holy Spirit. And if these other counselors, if we ask him, he'll help us. He'll help us as we minister to other people's needs. So let's start here. So how does the Holy Spirit lead us? Number one, letter A there, if you're looking, it's by his word. And that is number one. We spent some time on that, so I'm not going into that today. But this is the number one way God leads his people, right here, by his word. That's as simple as it can be. So we got to be looking there. If we're not looking in the guidebook or listening on the radio or listening to it through an app or whatever the case may be, we can listen to it easily around the clock. Always. No problem there. If we aren't looking at the word, oh man, we can get ourselves in such a mess, can't we? When we go against God's word, things can just get way out of whack. So, but we're talking about the Holy Spirit as he is our counselor. He leads by his Spirit. I read a deal here just a week or two ago, and this was through a Christian research deal, and it says, I was shocked when I read this actually. It said, researchers estimate that the average adult makes 35,000 decisions a day. I'm like, oh, seriously? Well, that's a lot. But they're talking about every minor little decision. You know, what time am I going to get up? What am I going to wear? What am I going to eat when? How am I going to spend my time? Well, when am I going to check my computer, or my Facebook, or social media, or whatever else? And all those little decisions that maybe we don't think so much about. We just get in the routine and we do them. But we should be fellowshipping always with the Holy Spirit. But the bigger decisions, where am I going to live? Where am I going to college? Where am I going to work? Who Who am I going to marry? I always tell our high school class, the two biggest decisions you're going to make in your life is, number one, for Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and secondly, who you are going to marry. Big decision. Let it be someone who is a strong believer, a follower of Jesus Christ. So, what am I going to plant? Think of that, especially this year. How am I going to market my crops, my livestock? It gets more complex all the time, doesn't it? You guys know that. Those are decisions that the Holy Spirit, those are decisions that the exact names are not found in Scripture. We know that. So we have to seek God and His guidance and His leading. Paul and Silas, on this second missionary journey of theirs, it's brought out so clearly the Holy Spirit's leading at three different times. They had done the first missionary journey. I don't have that map for you. They're done. A lot of the Gentiles are getting saved. They are so excited. Paul and Barnabas, is that what I said? Paul and Barnabas were on the first missionary journey. They come back to Antioch. That's the Antioch down in Syria, if you're looking at your map. Then they're telling about these Gentiles getting saved, and of course the Jewish leaders in Jerusalem at that church, the ones who had gotten saved, they send word up there and they say, well, wait a minute. Okay, are you telling these Gentiles, the guys, they have to be circumcised also? It's not just Jesus. They also got to be circumcised in the flesh. And Paul is telling them, no, God has showed us if you want to be just for physical reasons, that's fine, but to be saved, no. So they actually had to have a big conference down in Jerusalem, and they realized, truly, no, they don't have to be. So that all takes time, of course. Paul says to Barnabas in the end of chapter 15 of Acts, let's go back and visit the believers in all the towns where we preach the word of the Lord and see how they're doing. In other words, on the first journey, let's go back, encourage them, minister to them. Barnabas says, okay. But guess what else Barnabas says? He wants to take this guy called John Mark along with him. And that is John Mark, who God used to write the Gospel of Mark. That's the guy. Well, let's take him with us again, because he was with us on the first journey, part of the time. And Paul's like, we are not taking him along with us this time. Remember what he did? You'd find this in chapter 15 of Acts if you read it. When we were on the first missionary journey, about halfway through it, at a place called Pamphylia, which is on your map, he deserted us. We're not given the details. Whatever, he got tired, homesick. Well, he was a young guy. I don't know. It was too tough. He said, I'm done. Maybe there was an argument. We're not told. I'm done. I'm going back to Antioch where we started, maybe back to Jerusalem. I'm done. And apparently that was a very sore spot for the Apostle Paul. Because when Barnabas wanted to take him again on the second journey, Paul is like, absolutely not. And the Bible says there was a sharp disagreement that arose between them. But was Paul perfect? He was not perfect. No, he was not. So Paul chooses Silas, a new guy, to go with him. And Barnabas says, all right, you guys go, and I'm taking Barnabas. And Barnabas says, I'm taking John Mark, and we're going. We'll go two different ways. Sounds like how we get all our denominations today, doesn't it? In a way. So we're going to follow Paul and Silas. So Roman numeral 2, that's where I'm at now. The leading of the Holy Spirit. So important. As children of God, we can expect to be led by the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm not talking expecting in a demanding way. I'm talking in faith, by faith. We can expect Him to lead and guide us, and should. There's a verse in Romans chapter 8, verse 14 that says this, Those who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. We could add daughters of God in there too. Okay? Those who are led by the Spirit of God are His children. We can expect to be led by His Holy Spirit. You can ask the Holy Spirit, and should, to lead you in your decisions of life. Listen to Proverbs 16:9. I like this. A man's mind plans his way as he journeys through life. And we do, don't we? But the Lord directs his steps and establishes them. We can have all our plans made. And we need to. But God has the final say-so, doesn't He? Did we know we were going to end up in this kind of drought this spring? No, we did not. Sure, things started out tough. We had a dry winter, but then we had those good rains, didn't we? It's like, thank you, Lord. And then just all has shut off. Did God know? God knew. He knows all, doesn't He? Yeah. So how two ways I want to look at here is going to be closed doors, first of all, and then we'll get into open doors. God uses doors, we call them, often to guide us as well by His Spirit. So the closed doors, that's what we're going to see here as Paul and Silas start out in this journey. Now, just because, but let me say this before we start on it. Just because you're starting out an adventure in life or going a certain way and you're running into resistance and opposition does not automatically mean you're supposed to quit doing what you're doing, because that's sort of what life is about, is troubles, opposition, trials, right? We got young farmers in here starting out in the midst of this time, pretty tough. Probably thinking, oh, did I make the right decision here, Lord? Well, you probably did. You're just starting out in a rough time, that's for sure. But God will get you through it. It doesn't mean that you missed it, okay? We'll see in the ending of all this, Paul and Silas, they ran into big troubles. But no, you keep pushing through. You kept pressing, keep pressing onward. It just means there might have to be some change and adjustments in it. So, Acts 15, verse 40, Paul chose Silas and left, commended by the brothers to the grace of the Lord, and he went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. So, if you look on, you know, the pink part, if you look at that, that's Syria. That is modern-day Syria right there, which is right above Israel. That little green down there, a lot of that is Israel, part of where it has the country, or the city Amman, that's over in present-day Jordan. But so they're going up. You see the red line through Syria. All that yellowish-orange, that big area, that is modern-day Turkey, just so you know sort of where we're at on this map. But they go up there through Cilicia, and they're going through all those places where they went before. Let me read Acts 16, verse 6. Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region of Phrygia. See that on there? You keep going. That is like, it'd be like the Midwest region, sort of, okay? A bigger area. And Galatia, you see that up there too. But here's the point. Having been kept or forbidden, the Amplified Bible says, by the Holy Spirit. Right there. Having been kept or forbidden by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word. Wow. Not interesting. Preaching the word where? In the province of Asia. So you see the biggest word on there is Asia. That's that whole area. But if you'd look in certain translations, you'd see it's Asia Minor. Where's Asia Minor? Okay, I drew in a couple lines there on my own before I made the copies. Coming down by Asia, where all those little cities are, that's the region of Asia Minor. And that is the part where the Holy Spirit's saying, no, I don't want you to go down there. Not yet anyway. It's not time. So, just stay with me. You might think, what does this have to do with me, Pastor Mike? It has a lot to do with you. I'm trying to show you how the Holy Spirit leads and guides. You don't have to be in the ministry for the Holy Spirit to lead and guide you. He leads you just as much as he leads me in your decisions, all right? He's getting ready to close a door of where they think they're going. Now, if you look at all those little cities down in there, there are seven of them that have a cross above the box by the name of their city. Guess what those cities are? They are the seven churches that the Apostle John, that Jesus spoke to in through the Apostle John in the book of Revelation. So the Holy Spirit is saying, no, it is not time for you to go down there yet to preach the gospel to those churches. On the third missionary journey, Paul goes there. He does, but not this time. He says no. So if you're looking at your outline again, number one, he's saying, don't go south to Asia. All right, I have a line right there above the big Asia. You're supposed to write the word no in there if you're filling in your blanks. That's what that's for. No. A lot of times we think things that we're supposed to do. I mean, you all have big things. Sometimes it's land purchases. Those are huge decisions in this day with the expense of land. Or it could be so many other things. And maybe God is saying no. We have to realize, as Isaiah said in chapter 55, God is speaking through Isaiah the prophet. He's saying, my thoughts are not your thoughts. We got to realize that. And my ways, God's saying, are not your ways. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. Sometimes God just says, no, that's not what I want you to be doing right now. And it can be difficult to discern. So as we're praying and should be, Holy Spirit, I need you to lead me in this decision. Because I just am not sure. And you pray, you pray, you pray. I've told you many examples over the years of my life, my earlier, younger years, I guess. And God, for me, I'll say, he often shows me in ways I very least expected. And when I least expected it, going all the way. Some of you have heard this a lot. Sorry, some of the newer ones haven't. I'll try to make it brief. Brookings, I'm up there at SDSU. Huge decision to step out of pharmacy college in the middle of my fourth year. I'm loving the church there. Feeling sort of a call to ministry, but in my head I'm thinking, no way I can do that. I cannot do that. So in my life, I'm just happy to stay in Brookings and work a secular job and go to this church that I'm loving and growing and by leaps and bounds. And this goes for a year, I'd say. And I can't get a full-time job, though. And I was trying. I know in this day and age that seems, really? I know that's what I thought at that time. Really? I tried. I had a part-time, but that wasn't enough. Finally, I had to move back here to Menno. My parents were still here. My dad was still pastoring this church. Well, who wants to move back home? Most of us don't. There I am in the basement of the very house we live in now. And so the basketball coach then was Ron Bush. A lot of you know him. And as he retired, he started selling World Book Encyclopedias. And the kids are like, what in the world is that? Well, if you got an old set at home, show them. So that meant going door to door, which I did not like. Going door to door to people I didn't know. A lot of rejection. Sometimes people would buy a set, which those were, $300, $400, $500 at the time. And so someday I wish I could remember that little cafe. I do not. What town I was in around here having lunch and just the tears start rolling down. I'm like, God, if this is all you have for my life, selling World Book Encyclopedias, whoa. Come home, I'm still in tears. My mom, what's the matter, Michael? Oh, I don't want to do this all my life, but I don't know what to do. And go down in the basement bedroom, get down on my knees and praying. And see, I had friends that went to Rhema, where I went to school, seminary. But I just thought, in my head, I'm like, I am not spiritual enough to go to seminary. How could I ever do it? So we got to get through all this stinking thinking, as I say. And that day when I was there just crying out to God, just in a moment, it was like, go, go. I'm like, went upstairs, told my parents, I'm going. They're like, what? This was in December of that year, fall of, what, 84? Call a friend that I had down there. I'm coming. I am coming. I told my parents, well, school didn't start till fall of 85. Well, when are you going? I'm going, right? January 1st, I'm going. I know I can find work there and work. And it just, so God had to shut each of those doors, one in Brookings to get me out. Did I understand? No, but he shut the door hard. Come back to Menno to sell encyclopedias. Ugh. He shut that door. Thank you, Lord. And pushed me down there. And that's what's going on here with Paul and Silas. Okay, set number two. We'll go. So Bithynia, you're blank there. God is going to say, no, don't go north. Bithynia is north. You see it way up there on your map. No. Verse 7 of Acts 16. When they came to the border of Mysia, if you see that, that's further west. Okay? When they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia. Let's go north. But the Spirit of Jesus, all right, that's just another way to say the Holy Spirit of God. The Spirit of Jesus would not allow them. Amplified says, did not permit them to. I wish that in Scripture we would have the details of how the Holy Spirit of God did this, but we are not told. I've looked at countless commentaries over this last month, thinking maybe somebody, maybe one of these guys has some insight that the others aren't seeing, of why, and they're all saying the same thing, which is Scripture. We are not told. This is all we're told. The Holy Spirit said no for Asia Minor. The Holy Spirit said no going north to Bithynia. Can't go south, can't go north. We've come from the east. We're not going back there. So I guess what? We'll keep going. They were at Mysia, so they're getting pretty much as far west as they think they can go. The third one there, this is the open doors under letter B. God opens a door. The deal in this too, you got to realize they didn't quit, did they? I'm sure they were frustrated. They had to be. Lord, what do you want us to do? I'm hanging out here or something. What do you want us to do? We thought we would go further with the gospel message than what we did on the first journey. That's an honorable, noble thought, isn't it? Yeah. We can't go south. We can't go north. Mysia, we're getting close to the Aegean Sea. If you see it on your map, we're almost there, but not quite. And so what happens? West is your blank in number one. Go west, young man. You know that song? Michael W. Smith, go west, young man. Look at verse 8 of Acts chapter 16. They passed by Mysia, and they went down to Troas. Now they are up against the sea. You got to remember, this is 2,000 years ago. It's not like today. Okay, oh, we'll just, no problem. They're going. They don't know anybody where they're going. They don't know where they're staying or how they're traveling, probably on foot most of the way. But during the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia. And you see that over across there. The region, that's what that whole yellow region is. A man of Macedonia standing and begging him, come over to Macedonia and help us. And after Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding, there we go, that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. What's Macedonia today? Part of that is present-day Greece. There is a country of Macedonia today still. It's right over in that area. But that's where we're at. Come over and help us. In the Greek, what is implied there is a help that only God can offer. Only God can offer. These people in Macedonia, somehow they were calling out to the living God, wanting to know Him. And you know what? God will reach if a person is sincerely crying out. He will, as I've used the phrase, He will move heaven and earth to get somebody, to that person, to hear the gospel message. He's done, if you look at Sat7, that's a ministry that reaches out in the, I think it's called the 1040 window, a lot of those Muslim countries where it's forbidden to preach the gospel against the law. God is showing visions of Jesus many times to those people proclaiming the gospel. He does it still today. So here it is, come over and help us. They got across the Aegean Sea. First, it says, if we'd read on, first they went to, there's that little island there called Samothrace. And then finally they go over there to Neapolis, and then they get to Philippi, which is where the action is going to begin. Do you know from Troas across the sea and over to Philippi? I looked. That is 254 miles. That's not just, let's go. No problem. You think they had a boat they were pulling along, the donkey all the way? No. They had to find a ship, someone that would take them over there. And where are they getting their money from in all of this? And food and everything else. Do you know how far they had traveled from when they left Antioch in Syria? By the time they get to Philippi, eventually, 776 miles. It would have been easy to say, forget it. We are going back. This is much too hard. We must have missed the Lord. God, I don't think you're in this. But they kept going. And they got there to Philippi, where there is no Jewish synagogue. It was a Roman colony, because this is the Roman Empire. There is no church, because they're establishing the churches. And what do they find when they get to Philippi? They find just a group of women down by the riverside meeting for prayer. The scripture says that Lydia, the seller of purple, remember, a worshiper of God, but she didn't know about Jesus. She only knew about the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But she wanted to know the one true God. And so here they come. And she becomes a believer, gets baptized, and on it goes. But you know, let me just close with this. Just because Paul and Silas finally got exactly where God wanted them to get, doesn't mean it's all going to be a hallelujah time. No, they end up casting the evil spirit out of that slave girl, and what happens to them? Acts 16 later on, they get whipped, beaten, thrown in prison, and they never quit. They never quit preaching Jesus Christ as Lord. So, the Holy Spirit leads and guides. Hopefully this helped you a little bit as we're walking through our lives. Whatever age we are, there's always decisions to be made. Let's pray. We must submit our agenda to God's agenda. That's your last blank there. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your Spirit. Lord, it is our desire, I believe all of our desires seated here this morning, to follow you closely. Some are young, just starting in their careers. Some are just starting off to college, big decisions. Some are engaged to be married, and how exciting that is. Some are still in the seeking, who is my wife or husband supposed to be? Some are in the later years of life, saying, Lord, what do you have for me in these golden years? What is your purpose and your plan? And it's everywhere in between. And we thank you that you lead and guide us. We ask that you lead and guide us as a church congregation, Father. We want to follow your will. We know we're far from perfect. But we need your leading, that we can all draw closer to you, number one, and all draw closer to each other as brothers and sisters in Christ, encouraging each other, walking in love one towards another. Thank you for your blessings in so many ways. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, I thought I had an extra long time, and it just so that flies by. For me, maybe not for you, I hope. Number 705, It Is Well With My Soul. Such a beautiful hymn. I'm not going to go into the story of the man who wrote it again, but if you have time today, if you'd read 2 Kings chapter 4, if you remember that. It's with Elisha and the Shunammite woman, and she had lost her son, and that's a whole deal, but Elisha says, go ask her how it is with you, how it is with your son, so on, so on. And so the servant does. She had just lost her young adult son. You know what her answer was? It is well. It is well. Let's stand and sing this, number 705. Thank you that come what may, in our personal lives, in our nation, in our world. You are sovereign over all, and our eyes are upon you, and we can say, in Christ, it is well with my soul. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Please receive the benediction. Now may the God of all hope fill you with joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. As a prayer for our nation, we will sing, God Bless America. Seated, have a wonderful day. Thanks, Joanne, for the beautiful music.